Well, hello again. After serving 35 years in law enforcement, recently retired Putnam County's Juvenile Center, Lieutenant Casey Flats' distinguished career has been a storied one. Welcome, Casey. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
This show is about you. It's about who. And then we talk about what. But a lot of this is the old Billy Graham thing about, not the old Billy Graham thing, but the spiritual thing of who are you, where'd you come from, and where are you going? And we talk about birth, and we talk about growing up, and we just talk about things that have influenced your life. So I'm looking forward to it. I got a tough job. I got to listen. And your audience already knows that's hard for me, Casey. So let's just start. Let's talk about you and where were you born, birth, and let's start there and just go right on up through growing up and going what you did and who you did it with and family and everything.
All right. Well, All right. My name's Casey Flatt.
Casey Flatt.
I was born here in Putnam County. Been here all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a brother and sister. My sister's oldest. Mm-hmm. My brother Lee is the middle, and I'm the youngest of three.
Okay.
Well,
you were the baby, so you might be a little spoiled. They might have. Were they rough on you?
They were rough on me. I got a lot of the hand-me-downs.
That's right. I forget. Yeah.
It's a lot of Sears and Roebuck stuff back then, in the 70s. So.
Yeah, you said that. I'm the oldest of five, but by the time my baby sister came along, things started running out as the years went by. So you grew up here.
I did.
Let's carry right on. You go through elementary school, high school, junior high.
Yeah, went to Parkview Elementary.
Parkview, okay.
Grew up. My mom, she was a teacher's assistant. Mm-hmm. At the time at Parkview in the kindergarten class with Miss Masters, Miss Hertzfeld, and Miss Miller.
Mm-hmm.
There were the three. My mom stayed at home with all the kids as a homemaker until I went to school. And she said, I just can't bear it. I got to be with my kids. That's when she became a teacher, and started where I went to school at.
Mm-hmm.
We did a story once about that. Years ago, they did an article about family and who follows their footsteps. Does anyone really follow footsteps of their parents anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, the career I took both. My dad, for a short stint, was hired by Jerry Apston back in the 70s.
So you're the second one hired by Jerry.
Yeah, I am. I was. My dad was a what they were called auxiliary officers back then. They didn't get paid.
Sure.
So he used to come in on the weekends and help out and ride with the guys and help out anywhere the sheriff had asked him to be. He did that for several years until he got into insurance and got out of it, didn't make a career of it like I did.
So you've got a heritage there. I mean, you grew up seeing, hearing about law enforcement, about what through your dad. Well, that is great.
Yeah.
You said something earlier. I'm already breaking my rule about talking. I'm a lot older than you are, but it's a very similar era. You said miss. A lot of our school teachers back when I was growing up their life was their teaching, and a lot of them were not married. At least and you mentioned I think two of the three were miss at the time. So just a little aside there. So you had a great solid start, and Casey, and carry on.
Yeah. Well, that's you sometimes get to be lucky enough to do what they both did. And the reason I'm saying that is my dad got into law enforcement, didn't do his career very long. My mom did, though. She stayed back then, Parkview, I believe, was K through 6.
Sure.
And she stayed until I left elementary and went to the middle school, not middle school, they were junior high back then.
We called them junior high.
Yeah,
that's
we called
right.
it. We were junior high.
We did.
It's hard when I was SRO, everything sort of changed. she stayed with me all through K through 6 at Parkview. We were Parkview Rockets back then. I was on the football team.
The Rockets.
I was a Parkview Rocket on the football team. But later on in the career, in my career as growing up, I was infatuated by law enforcement, seeing when Adam 12 on TV, seeing all these things, you know, going on. Staying at the jail when I was little, me and Jerry Dale, we would just like roam like little jail mice everywhere. Jerry Dale Abston,
Sheriff's late son.
Yes. We would stay at the jail late hours for the weekends and stuff when his dad, the sheriff would be there.
Boy, you got a dose of this average person.
Grew up in it, yes.
That's great. That's great. Yes. That's got exposed to it.
Got to walk around a lot down there. Got to see behind the scenes of how the jail really worked. Things like that. So later on, as I grew up, I thought more about it and thought more about it. So I got into law enforcement after a couple of few other jobs, you know, you get when you're younger, before you can join.
Yeah.
So Danny Holmes, of all people.
Danny Holmes. Danny. Yeah.
We were sitting in the dispatch officer's room. It all connects right there. And I'm sitting there one Saturday night. As a reserve, as an auxiliary back then, I was sitting in there waiting for my ride to come in because we always rode with the deputy, with certified deputy at the time, and we'd come in, we'd ride with them on the weekend. I think I was with Bill Parrott that night. And so anyway, we're sitting there, and Danny Holmes walks in. He goes, "Hey," he goes, "you ever thought about working here full time?" I said, "I hadn't really thought about it."
Wow, wow.
This was about a year and a half into being a auxiliary at the time. Bull Flat was the chief of them back then. And Danny said, "Hey," he said, "why don't you talk to the sheriff about it?" I was nervous. That man scared me to death from his size.
You're a young guy.
And I'm thinking, here I am 21 years old, and, you know, here he is. Seemed like he was 8 foot tall at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Scared death to talk to him. So here comes the sheriff in. Here comes Jerry Abston in. Danny Holmes says, "Sheriff, hire this boy right here." He said, his dad would kill me if I hired him.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he was just, because our family was real close-knit, with the sheriff and them.
I'll be talking to Jerry soon.
Yeah, he said his dad would kill me if I hired him. He said, you know, his dad used to work here, you know. And so it went on, and next thing I know, Danny Holmes had brought me an application, you know, and there's like a little one-page application back then.
Oh, sure.
He said, "Hurry up and fill that out. I'm going to put it on the sheriff's desk." He said, "We're fixing to hire you."
Wow.
And, yeah, so that was about a year and a half. I was about 23 then.
I understand.
And went to work. He hired me August 12th or August 15th of 1993. I went on full-time at the sheriff's department.
Sure.
And started out as a jailer, as they called them back then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're corrections now, but we started out as jailers back then. Had a really good time, loving it, waited my turn. We
moved. Took care of people.
I think we had 72 prisoners at the time, and that was about the time we were building the new jail. And once we got the new jail built, we put all the prisoners in the vans that we took them to court and stuff in. At the courthouse, we took them, moved them all to the big jail. So I stayed, went up to the big jail.
You're involved in the transition.
Yeah. I went and walked around while it was being built, where the old lickety split was. That's how old I am. got to look at it being built, things like that. I went up there for about another 4 years to about 99 as a corrections officer, mm-hmm. jailer up there. And I'm sorry, 97.
Okay, sure.
And the sheriff, we were working one day, and he called down the book, and he goes, "Flat, you busy?" And I'm like, sheriff.
Oh, ruh-roh.
I said, no, this is April 1st. And I thought it was April's Fool's joke. So he calls, he said, "Get up in my office."
That's Jerry.
Yes. He calls me, it's April 1st. So I'm going up there, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going through a mile to 100 mile an hour. What have I done? That's what you always think. You're called the sheriff's office. What have you done? You know, I'm thinking, I ain't done nothing, you know. So I'm going up there, and he goes, "Have a seat." He goes, "You want to go to the road as a deputy?" And I went,
ooh.
Whoo, that's a big shock, you know.
Oh, sure.
I'm like, that's all the corrections officers dream, go the road as a deputy.
Go
to the academy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this is April 1st. This better not be some kind of joke. He goes, "Now you have to go home and have to talk this over with your wife." I mean, that's just the way Sheriff Abston was.
Oh, he was. Oh,
still
is.
Yes. Well,
great guy.
He'd say, "I don't want to answer now." He said, "Go home, talk it over with your wife, make sure this is the right thing to do. He said, I know your dad would just, you know, he's probably going to kill me. He said, but I'm going to keep on. He said, I want you to go.
You're the type person.
Yeah. He said, I want to send you to the academy. So went home, talked to my wife. We prayed over it. We talked about it. That was the thing to do. I said, I've been waiting for this minute. I wanted to make a career out of it. So I went to the academy.
God's will.
In 97, I went to Donelson, went to the academy to be a road officer in 97. So I went on the road as a deputy, and next thing you know, it's flying by. You know, you're working, you're doing this, you're going to all kinds of different schools. I went to accident investigation school. I used to run radar back on the road. The sheriff always says, I don't be writing no tickets. Let's just slow these people down, you know. Let's make everybody safe. So I went to the academy.
So go ahead. Went
to the academy. Columbine hits in 99. So –
We
need an SRO. We need a school resource officer in Putnam County. So flash forward, sheriff says, hey, you want to be a school resource officer? And I'm like, that'd be cool because when I get to be in the school, like my mom was a teacher and go in and teach,
right into the
plus
plan.
I get to do what my dad did. So I was lucky enough to get to do both.
Wow.
I got to do kind of sort of what my dad did for a while, and I got to teach as an SRO because we taught stuff. And then moved on to be a DARE officer also.
We could tell stories. Most people don't go do, you know, it's a God thing, number one, faith. But number two, it's just get out there and get with it. You were at the right place at the right time and the right person asked you. Off to a great start, our conversation with Casey continues. Casey, we're off to a great start on your life and your history and with the sheriff's department and all the things that you've done. And we touched on something off air just a moment ago about life and about your faith and about first thing you did after Jerry Abson talked to you about the SRO is you wanted to pray about it and you wanted to talk to your wife about it. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good strategy right there. So, and then of course you let's pick up there and just talk. You know, we're spiritual bodies. I know you are. I am, and there aren't any accidents. We think, you know, God's will, and so I'm not going to try to be Billy Graham. I told you that earlier on, but let's pick up now. You've taken the job of SRO, and let's just go with it.
Okay. Well, like I said, you know, we prayed about it. I've got up. My dad had four brothers that were preachers. So it's
you got
in
it
the
honest.
Family.
You got
you
it
know.
Honest. Didn't
yeah. So, you know, you've got to do what you got to do. I got in the school system as a school resource officer. Stayed in there for a long time doing SRO, we call it, school resource officer. Loved it. He said, you just got to stay there a year, and if you don't like it, we'll take you out. You can go back to the road and, you know, do road stuff or accident investigation, what I was doing at that time. But I got in being a school resource officer and absolutely loved it. I mean, I was by myself. I was at Coolville High School.
Oh, sure.
That campus is like 61 acres, three floors with probably, I don't know, 1,800 kids at a time.
It's a big place in any size
and
community.
I was there by myself. But you know what? It worked out so well. The kids were wonderful. They still are, but the kids were wonderful. They sort of standoffish just a little bit.
Oh, sure. They get to know
you. What are you doing here? You're in our turf, you know. It was really hard to blend in. It was sort of hard, you know.
A little threatening to them.
So you just go in, you start telling them, you know, who you are, why you're there. You know, you get concerned about what's going on in their life. You know, you start asking them questions. Hey, you know, what's going on? You know, you get into conversation. You get into classrooms and stuff. I would sort of get into different classrooms, like talking to them about their rights as a kid, as an adult would have. Let them know, hey, you know these fights you're getting into. Your buddy's a senior. You're a junior. Do you know he's could turn 18 and you're 17? You can get him in a lot of trouble by fighting at school and stuff. You know, just trying to steer him in the right direction.
Well, we're going to get into that and do it the rest of the 7-8. There's a lot more complicated juvenile. Justice and juvenile system. And we talked off air. Most people, unless they're dealing with it personally, really don't have a concept of what happens in that system. and we're going to be talking about it. But, you know, servanthood, you are able to serve and make a difference in people's lives, kids' lives. I'm sure they, once they took you under their wing, that they shared with you and you were able to help them, Casey.
Yeah, you got to earn their trust.
That's it.
You got to earn the kids' trust, you know. There's a lot more of them than there are of me.
So. That's right. That's right. So you did that, and how long were you the SRO?
I think I stayed until 2012. Okay. But in the middle of that, Danny Holmes retired, I think, in 2002 from DARE, and I took over
Didn't
DARE also. Yes.
Love Danny.
He was a DARE officer, Love and Danny. He was running the as a director of juvenile detention also.
So I didn't know that.
He was the director and doing DARE. And so he sort of retired from DARE, and the sheriff said, hey, we need a DARE officer. You're already in the schools. You want to do it? And I thought, sure, I'll do it. I didn't know it was going to be a two-week class of 4 hours. I mean, 4 years of college crammed into 2 weeks.
Oh, and
sure. That's what it was.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, it
oh,
was
sure. –
It was an intense school run by the state. You have to do all that to be a DARE officer. So I was doing SRO. I was doing DARE both. And on the DARE side, you get a little more personal with the kids of what's going on in your house.
Yeah,
you know, because they share
and,
stuff. And yeah. they go, hey, this is what's going on. I'll pull you to the side, you know, because this was fifth graders, and they like to talk a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They do. They tell you anything that's going on at the house, you know. Hey, this is going on. How can I help? How can you help me take care of this?
You know, there's a theme that I picked up on, I don't know of another area, region that has a law enforcement group that is as well-trained and well-prepared as our group, city, county. And when you're talking about all these people that we know that started out with you and where they are today, this is the camaraderie, the respect, the – you don't see that in a lot of – I mean, we have it in other – obviously, but this is as good as it gets in here. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yes.
Make?
Yes, we work very well together. I've worked, like you said, 32 years I've been with this department.
Yeah, in different capacities.
In different capacities, and I loved every bit of it.
That's
Wouldn't
great.
Change it for the world.
Well, it shows, and it shows in your voice right now. I mean, it's great. So we're going to move on a little bit more. Anything else you want to talk about during those times? Talking more about your juvenile justice, your juvenile detention responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this a while ago, these are the type things, unless you are involved, this average citizen would not know a lot about it. So let's give our audience out here an education on what it is, what you've done. Anything you want to talk about, reflections, we've got this, the rest of this segment and another segment. So we're good. We'll talk about the future. So let's just start with day one or whatever you want to talk about juvenile detention and your job.
Well.
That's a big one, right? That's a long
yes,
one.
Yes, there's a lot involved with juveniles. I started juvenile detention under, in 2000 and. I guess it was 2012, maybe.
Okay.
Under Sheriff Ferris, he said, mm-hmm. You've been here when he ran for sheriff. He said, you've been here a long time. He said, you stayed when a lot of the others left and went for state jobs and other departments and stuff. He said, but you've been here. He said, you've seen the changes. He said, I'd like to promote you.
Wow.
Make you admin lieutenant, and I need you to run a division for me. And I'm like, okay, no problem.
Yes, let's move on.
What is it? And he goes, juvenile. And I went, one of the toughest ones
has to be
to run.
That age.
You know, and people go, oh, you're just there babysitting kids. You know, you're not farther from the truth. If you don't step foot in that door and you don't see what's going on, bless your heart, you don't understand what goes on behind the doors of juvenile.
Yeah, a lot of the people you dealt with grew up fast. They had to, to survive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of sort of what you get. It's misunderstood kids doing it their way instead of the way they're supposed to. And I've had a lot of kids come through the doors down there going, hey, you are my DARE officer. You know, you are my SRO.
But
I remember you.
They're
and I'm
looking
like,
for love. They're looking – I mean, they're looking for leadership. They're looking for things that maybe they're not getting other places.
Yeah,
they're crying out A lot of them are crying out for help in their own way, I would guess.
Yeah, yeah. They're tried to do it their way, and it didn't work. So we have to get them back on track, get them back in school, which we offer school there also at Juvenile. I have a teacher, a retired teacher now. Used to be Jeff Comer, now it's Bobby. So he comes in. I have a teacher come in and have him to do schoolwork every day from 8 o'clock
so
to 11 o'clock.
Continuing their education.
Yes. I've had kids get their GEDs in there.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, so we really work hard with them. You know, they're captive now, and we have to stay on top of them to get their schoolwork done.
This is a great segue into the next segment. We're going to be talking about really more about what you have done and are doing. Our conversation with Casey will continue. Casey Flatt, Juvenile Detention Director. And now we're going to look in the crystal ball and talk about not only the present, but look in the future. We talked about it, but first, like we said, the average citizen, including myself, probably wouldn't have any clue as to the type of things that you've done. Let's talk about juvenile detention in Putnam County now, and then let's look in the crystal ball in the future. So, floor is yours, Casey, or the mic is yours.
Okay. Well, like you said, now that I'm retired, what I did before,
yep.
I can touch on certain things that, you know, a typical day of what the facility's like, what we do there, things like that. The facility's like a 22-bed facility. They hold male and female inmates both. When I worked there, I contracted 27 counties in the state of Tennessee, which I could hold from anywhere. If somebody didn't want, you know, if somebody wanted us to hold, I'd have to have a contract, get it signed by the sheriff.
So this is bigger than Putnam County or the Highlands.
Yeah.
I mean, you do. Well, Upper Cumberland.
We're very fortunate in our county to be able to have a juvenile detention center. Not everybody has one.
That's right. It's the whole thing about so much about our community region. We play bigger than we are because of where we are and who we are. So you're responsible for things that usually bigger places.
Yeah.
Take jurisdiction over because we're the biggest thing in the Upper Cumberland.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of our smaller counties that border us. Like I said, they're not fortunate that they can have a juvenile detention center because if we didn't have one.
Where would they send them? Nashville?
Exactly. We don't know. You've got to beg for a bed.
So this gives the parents and the.
To stay here, do visitation here.
The infrastructure, the networking, the families, it gives them an opportunity.
Yeah, so they don't have to travel. Yeah, so they don't have to travel, so they can stay here. We're really blessed to have one. Ours is not real big, like I said. It's only a 22-bed facility, but we hold male and female both. And if we did not have it, it would be really hard on a lot of people.
That's right.
And the reason and then why I say that is it affects not having one would affect everything from the court system to the sheriff's department
all the way through
to the families. Yes.
Sure.
You know, typical day there, if a kid gets in trouble, what they do is it depends on the crime the kid has committed. The deputy will go out to the house, assess the situation of what the kid has done. He'll call what's called a YSO, youth service officer, which is Greg Bowman or somebody that works under him. They're sort of like what we have magistrates at night. You know, that write warrants, judicial commissioners at night for being on call. They'll call up there at the courthouse during the day or they'll do an on-call at night. They'll tell the YSO, hey, I've got this kid. This is what this kid's done. They'll explain the house, the home, the surroundings of what has happened, why it's happened. Is it a good idea that we take that kid out? Do you think we'll be able to keep him there? Then based on the criteria of everything that's happened within the home and the kid's actions and what they've done, they'll either say, yes, we're going to do a petition, go ahead and take him juvenile, him or her, take him, transport them juvenile. We'll do a petition on them. Then we'll hold them for that, usually till the next day. The kids are not held for a long time. We're not a long-time facility. And that's how our local kids will happen. Most surrounding counties will operate the same way.
Sure, sure.
But I'm just talking typically for Putnam County. And we would hold them, and they'd go to court. If it happened on a Friday, They've got 72 hours to be in court, so we'd have them first thing Monday morning. They'd have to stay over the weekend if it was severe enough.
So then they go to juvenile court.
Yes, and then they'll go to juvenile court up with Greg Bowman and Judge Randolph. And they would answer to it, and we'd tell their parents, hey, you need to be in court at 9 o'clock on this date. You know, Monday, it's usually a Monday at 9 o'clock or 2 o'clock, depending on what the judge has going on. And we always have them up there within, like, the 72 hours, excluding holidays and weekends. We've got 72 hours to get them in front of the judge, depending on the crime. And they'll go in, and then however it goes in the court system, the judge will either release them to their parents, yeah, or they'll get up there and act like they're not supposed to and want to be the boss, and he'll go, I think you need to go back to juvenile for a little bit longer and think about it. Come back up next week or come back Thursday, stay in there a couple of more days.
So you know, when you say short term, it's a day-to-day, week-to-week, month.
Yeah,
Can be.
It can be. You know, it depends on it depends on the crime. If it's a nothing big, you know.
Yeah, sure.
They're in there 3 or 4 days at the most. Sometimes they're short as 24 hours in there. Could be a week. Could be even longer, depending on the crime they've committed. I mean, we've had kids in there for very serious crimes. We've had in there for over a year.
Sure.
So, and those are the ones that, you know, we talked about.
Yeah.
Could be tried as an adult later on because of the crime they've
itself
committed.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and how we get to that is through the judges, the courts, the sheriff, the DA. Everybody talks about what's happened. They agree on doing
it. They're making recommendations to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to think the judge's goal ideally would be, depending on the crime, to be able to remand them to their parents, if that's possible. But some things are going to be so serious that that's probably not possible.
This kid could have been a frequent flyer, could be in several times, and they've not learned their lesson.
So here we go.
And, you know, sometimes you even get the kid even just throws their hands up, the parents throw their hands up, and next thing you know, this kid's in state's custody in DCS, and we're holding, DCS will come to ours, say, hey, can you hold them about 4 hours? We'll be there to pick them up. We're going to take them to placement. We'll hold them, and, you know, we hold for DCS. We hold for, like I said, like 27 counties we got contracts with in the state of Tennessee. You know, if we didn't have our own, we would be doing the same thing. We'd be running our deputies everywhere to pick kids up.
Yes,
take them to court.
The expense, the cost, the time,
mm-hmm,
and the distance, sure.
Yeah.
Man, we're just tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, so, we could go in forever.
We said this off air. We've grown. I think we've grown 10,000. Don't hold me to these numbers. We tend to exaggerate a little bit in chamber work anyway. Not purposely. But I've heard a number that we've grown several thousand people since the last census. The things that make us special also create problems, challenges of growth, of crime, of everything. So it's where are we today? If you could wave a magic wand right now, how many beds do we – how far are we at capacity all the time? I'm sure
– Well, we try not to be. Okay. I mean, it's we have our issues like every surrounding county does.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I was holding for as far as Sullivan County, almost in Bristol. I mean, our facility, our juvenile facility, yes, is part of the old jail. It is.
Okay.
But we run it so well there that we have people from Sullivan County going.
Well, sure.
I mean, they pass Scott County, they pass Ron County, they pass all these counties.
You're known
to come
for
to us.
The professionalism,
yes,
and
yes,
the effectiveness.
Yes. And, I mean, we've got them coming from as far as, like I said, Sullivan County. We've got them coming from Jackson, almost down to Mississippi.
Ooh, so you really do cover.
Yeah, Clarksville, a lot of Montgomery County kids. I mean, they could stop Columbia. They could stop at
so
Rutherford
they can
County.
Pick,
they,
could, I mean,
they can pick.
Their jurisdiction can help, can choose where.
Yes, wherever they can find
to send,
a bed.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've got such a good working relationship
they,
with
they don't hesitate
counties
to recommend.
No, they'll call and they'll say, hey, you got a bed, we're on our way. You know, we've got a kid with, you know, got to be, I mean, he'll have to be in court tomorrow 24 hours. They will drive 2.5 hours to us to hold this kid, you know, because of the confidence they have in the sheriff's department.
Sure, sure.
So we just, you know, we all like what we do.
No, it shows. And you care. And a lot of that is, it really doesn't matter for most of us in life, what we do, one has to care,
mm-hmm.
and one needs a servant's heart. And you obviously, Casey, have both and faith and the whole. You got the whole package, and it shows.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been a great career.
Got a success story or two? You might want to talk about anything over the years that where somebody maybe turned their life around, or is anything along those lines, or do you get to see the end product? You're short term.
You do as far as. For everything I've done as far as being a school resource officer, being a DARE officer, and now being the director of juvenile, I've seen a lot of kids growing up. I've seen 750 a year doing DARE and SRO.
And you have had a broad experience with it.
Yeah, because I taught at Cornerstone, All Good Middle School, okay. Burks Middle School. I was traveling around.
So you really not only – you've seen the entire
county. And you see what they go through, with my mom being a teacher, sort of giving me a heads up on it, my dad, working for a small stint at the sheriff's department, under absent at the time. You really get in and you talk to the kids and you can relate to them, go, how's your school life? How are you missing school? Why are you missing school?
Yeah.
Who are you hanging with? I've noticed a change in you. Why are you doing this?
You can really learn their body language.
So I've a lot of the kids now are getting like my kids, because I was fortunate enough to be my kids' DARE officers when growing up. I taught both my kids, and they're good. One works in the school system, the other one works for the state. So you see the kids that they hung around with, and the struggles they've been through, and then they'll come to me, and I'll see them out in town eating somewhere. I'll say, "Hey, Officer Flatt, you remember me? Hey, I was in trouble all the time. Hey, I'm married now. I got a kid
wonderful?
And two kids, and going to church, and I've turned my life around.
Wonderful.
That's what makes it worth
redemption,
it. And that still happens. That still happens to this day.
We believe in that.
My wife says, "How do you not know? Everybody's coming. Do you know them?" I'm like, "Yeah, I had them in DARE, or I had them as an SRO." That's the wonderful part of it.
My mother used to say, "Well, you're just having to climb through the hill," and there's that growing up stage, and it affects people.
Yep.
People differently. Well, Casey, we're about to close up, but what a wonderful life, well lived, and service, and God bless you, and enjoy your next opportunity here in retirement.